Thank you for being here today. Let's take our Bible today. I'd like you to open it, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah. I've been thinking very, very heavily this week about the will of God, and I want to share for just the next few moments out of Jeremiah chapter 29 about God's purposes and plans for us. Without a doubt, is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent power toward us. He's here among us. He is at work. He is doing phenomenal and incredible things. Even when we don't fully understand what he's doing, he is at work. And I'd like to just lay some groundwork today for your thinking, for you to perhaps tap into, focus in some way. I want to challenge our thinking in some ways today as we consider what God would desire of us and ours. So let's stand today. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, if you would. Verses that would be very, very familiar to you and to me. How many of you love the Lord today with all of your heart? How many of you believe God has a plan for your life? A plan for your family? Let's read. Now, I have to tell you, the words before us are some of the most misinterpreted verses in all of the Bible. And I'll be talking about that today in the next few moments and hope to clarify some things for all of us. But Jeremiah 29:11. Now, this is the Lord speaking through his prophet, of course, Jeremiah himself. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's not a real good translation of the Hebrew. I think the International reads a hope and a future or something like that. The Hebrew actually should be translated something more like a hope and a happy ever after. That's the idea. It's not just in the moment, but it's like even beyond the end of the story, the goodness of God. Even beyond the moment and beyond the current thought. He has plans for us for hope now and everything beyond. The God of blessing and favor. I know the thoughts, I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a hope and a future, an expected end. Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take the word today in these remaining moments as we talk about your will and your purposes for our life. Give us wisdom today. Guide us. Lead us. And we pray that you will walk in every respect that we might recognize that, see that, believe that, tap into that, anchor into that. Because we're living in times that are anything but that, and we praise you for it today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said a great big amen today. I don't think any of us in the house are unfamiliar with what I'm going to share with you in the next few moments. The Lord's Prayer, that which Jesus gave his disciples as a template of how to pray, let's just take the initial part of that, and can we pray it together? And I want you to hear how Jesus himself crafted this prayer of prayers. Just every funeral that I conduct, I include that. This week, when we had our grandson with us for several days, his sister was really, really sick with the flu or whatever it was, and we had our grandson with us every night before he laid down to rest. In fact, I think it was Friday night, Gamma was preparing to retire, and I was praying with our little guy, and he fell asleep in my arms as we were praying the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray it together, and we're only going to pray the initial part, so bear with me. Pray with this with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't it interesting that in that prayer of prayers that Jesus taught his disciples when they said to him, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples, right? He began by first of all focusing on the reality of God, the God who is good, the God who loves us. In contrast to the Pharisees, teachers of the law, the Sadducees of the time, who kind of gave this impression that God was at a great distance, disconnected, distinct from his creation, almost unapproachable, almost unreachable, Jesus brought God as close as language could make him by entitling him not God a long way off, but the intimacy and the closeness of even our Father. He said then, we're to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. And that word, the King James word, essentially means holy. Our God is holy. He's not like us. There are two great realities in the world. There is a God and we're not him. Thank God for that. The God that we serve is a God that is holy. He's distinct from his creation, but he's near to us. A God that is not like all of that we see in contemporary society and watching lives and watching circumstances. He's holy. And he invites us to participate in that holiness. He said, I am holy, so be ye holy. What a challenge for us because we're not God. And yet he draws us near to a life that's above the norm. Hallowed. And then immediately on the heels of that, he invited us to pray, thy will be done. In all of the years that I have served in any capacity of ministry, without a doubt that is the number one question that's been asked by young and old alike. What is God's will for my life? People want to know that. And yet when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're invited to bring that to the forefront. Thy will be done. Here on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, without a doubt, his perfect will is accomplished. And we're to pray in the lifestyles, the circumstances, the situations in which we walk. We're invited to pray for God's will to be done in us, through us, in terms of us, wherever we live, wherever we work. The challenge of this, now I want you to hear what I'm going to say here, is sometimes we kind of throw that around a little bit. And we have a tendency sometimes to think in certain circumstances, well, maybe it was God's will. And sometimes those kinds of comments are made in particular circumstances, which is really difficult for people to hear. I don't even know how to say this. I don't know anything about anybody, so just bear with this illustration I'm going to use. I have a really hard time when persons lose infants, maybe a premature birth, or perhaps crib death. I have a really hard time. I know sometimes people don't mean the way it sounds. But I have a really, really hard time when people try to say, and I've never done this. I would never presume upon understanding everything about God or his work. I try to be very careful not to step in and try to somehow think I'm reading God's mind on certain circumstances. But we've all been in places and heard this where somebody would say to someone that has just lost an infant or perhaps a premature birth. You've heard people, and they don't mean it to sound wrong, but they'll say something like, well, maybe it was God's will. And that immediately seems to bring us into some conflict with God. I'm sorry, I just don't believe the God that we serve and the God that we would walk to the very end with is sitting up over the balcony of heaven and looking down. I just don't see God doing. I do believe he grants grace in those circumstances, but we've got to be really careful that we don't try to take the God that we love and serve and somehow take aspects of our life and try to make them as if our will's God's will. Because we live in a world that is suffering from what is called the fallout of the fall. Because of the fall of man, there's a lot of imperfections in this world. And there's issues we got to deal with. And we can't always find an easy answer for this stuff. Things happen. We live. There are circumstances, situations, accidents that occur that in and of themselves are not the responsibility of God. He allows life at a certain level, and yet he himself is involved in that. And yet we've got to be careful that we don't try to put ourselves as if we're God, because we're not. And we have to recognize there's a purpose of God working in our lives, but we don't want to somehow try to take God and make him us. Well, let me give you this crazy example I was thinking about. Now, I don't know how you are, but I'm always kind of thinking about that when we travel somewhere or we're shopping somewhere, we don't always park as close to the door as possible. People waste a lot of gas trying to find a closer parking spot. We often think, let's just park in the back of the parking lot and get a little bit of walk. Work off the Cheesecake Factory or whatever, you know. Let's just get a little exercise. Well, you park in the back of the parking lot, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, pops up a storm, and you get soaked before you ever get inside Macy's. Oh, how did God do that to me? Boy, you got to be careful with that kind of thing. Maybe 5 miles away, there's a farmer praying for rain. He's experiencing drought. He's about to go under. He needs rain desperately. How many people in America are praying to win the lottery? Oh. Don't look at me like that. I am not going to hell because I mentioned lottery in the house of God. But how many people, when it gets over a certain level, say, oh God, I could do so much good with that. Do you realize how chaotic the universe would be? If God, every little whim, don't let it rain when I get out of my car before I get into the store. And yet the farmer across the way is praying for rain for his family. How does God listen to all these people who are buying these tickets? How does he sort that out? Well, I don't think God's anywhere near that. You know, when Nance and I, in our much, much, much younger years, and I realized I went to high school when Lincoln was president, you know, as we were talking about family, we really, really desired to have 2 children. We were blessed with 2 children. A girl and a boy. The girl's older, the boy's younger. We didn't want 3 or 4 because we heard every 3rd child in the world born was Chinese. Every 4th child born in the world was named Muhammad. So we really didn't want 3 or 4. 2 was enough. And we wouldn't trade our kids for anything on earth. Or our grandkids. We really, really have been blessed. Although there have been some moments, as every parent understands, that you understand at moments when you're dealing with some of that, why some animals in the wild eat their young. You know, every parent's been through some of that. Like, oh my God. We love them, right? With all of our heart. But I honestly believe there comes a point where God wants to bless us. With everything within him, God wants to favor and bless our lives. And there's a certain aspect of this where he gives us this free will to make decisions, and some of the stuff that happens to us is because of our own stupidity. And it's not God's fault, because I can't drive a nail straight, that I hit my thumb with a hammer. Sometimes I just need to get better at swinging a hammer. If I nail my thumb trying to drive a nail that I'm not very good at driving straight, it's not God's fault. There you did it again, God. You hit my thumb. People cursing God and carrying on. There's a certain level of that where God has allowed us to live. And we have to recognize that freedom he gives us. If we had been blessed with a third child, I know God would have blessed us and blessed our family. I have no doubt of that. In fact, I had this really profound situation happen some years ago when we were pastoring in Vincennes. And we knew that the work we'd been called to do, God had blessed that church. It had exploded with growth. And we knew our time was completed and God had something else for it. We were confident of it. We knew it had come to that moment. To make a long story short, after we kind of let it be known that there was some interest on our part, there were three churches at the same time, all of which wanted us to come and candidate. Three. I can tell you the name of the towns. I won't mention them now. Three at the same time. And honestly, didn't know which way to turn, really. And I was praying because the way I had been reared and taught was the perfect will of God. One place, one time, one responsibility, cross the T's, dot the I's. I had never even considered to the moment when the Spirit of God spoke to me and said this, I'll let you choose. I'll let you choose. No matter which church you select, I'm going to bless you because you desire to bless me and to serve me, and I'll bless you wherever you go. One guy said to me, which one paid the most? That wasn't in our consideration. But I never even thought up to that point that God would allow for some latitude. The will of God, though it is without a doubt a direct sense of a serving and walking with the Lord, the will of God does provide some latitude. You know, you have a road and you got shoulders. Some Indiana roads don't have shoulders. Do you know that? I can take you to some state highways in Indiana where they have no shoulders. Those are the scariest roads to drive in the whole state. Indiana 244 that goes off of 74 that goes through Andersonville and that direction has no shoulder. In fact, off the edge of that road is so narrow and there's swamp on either side of the road. There is no variance. You don't even think about checking your email.
Did I say that?
Oh, my God. You don't even think about sending a text message. There's no shoulder on that road. The will of God provides some latitude. There are times when God will say, well, what do you desire? There's a certain aspect of this. No, I want you to hear this. The will of God isn't like taking medicine. Have you ever had a medicine that you were instructed by a physician to take that tasted awful? I mean, terrible. And you almost hated the idea of taking the medicine because it tasted that bad? I was never so glad when they created gel caps. That you swallow it, it pops open. The glycerin or whatever it is, that's the creation aspect of that. I was never so glad for that. But the will of God, when our heart is after God, when our soul desires to follow God, serving God and hungering to do His will can be not just a good thing, it could be an awesome thing. Because the Bible talks about if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. So it's not a bad thing. Actually, serving God's a wonderful thing. It's an awesome thing. And yet, in the midst of this, and these verses here say something to us. I know the thoughts, God says. This is an anthropomorphism. Because God doesn't have a brain like we think of a brain, but He's using terminology we can tap into. I know the thoughts that I think, saith God, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. God has a plan for our lives. God has a will for our lives. There is within that will some latitude for some freedom of decision and choice. And often God blesses you in ways that you don't even dream or imagine. It isn't always as challenging as some people would like to make it. It sometimes is a whole lot better than what people think. Once we yield ourselves to serving Him and walking with Him, it's like exercising. You know what the hardest step of exercising? The first one off the couch. When you get off the couch and you get out the door, it's usually not so bad from there. It's just getting started. The hardest part of the will of God is just saying yes. God, whatever you want for my life, whatever you desire for my family, Lord, I know you have great things in store for us. I know you want to bless us. I know you want to pour your Spirit out upon us. Knowing that takes the fear out of it. Now listen, I want you to take your Bible. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. This is a verse you all know. But just in case, here's something I believe with everything that is within me. And believe me, there are times I don't know how to add it up. Anybody here remember Long Addition? Anybody maybe my age or a little younger? Anybody remember the days when there were no calculators? My grandfather, who was a telegraph operator on the Milwaukee Road, never trusted calculators because they were man-made. He didn't even have an adding machine. He did Long Addition. I remember Long Addition. Now you walk into the store, and if the computer doesn't tell a lot of the younger folk at the counter how much is due, they can't count change. Because everybody doesn't do Long Addition anymore, or even subtraction. They have to trust the computer. There are times when I just have to laugh. I know it doesn't add up, but they don't realize it doesn't add up. Here's a verse that's in the Scripture, Romans 8:28. You know it. You can quote it. But in the context of the will of God, I'm not sure we always believe this. But I believe it with all of my heart. This really absolutely is the truth. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. The will of God is God Himself, according to this verse, wanting to work together for good in everything that happens in your life. Now, how many of you love God? I mean, really, put your hand up. Put your hand up if you love God. That's the prerequisite. We know all things work together for good to them who love God. If you love God, one more time, just to make sure we didn't mess up. I want to make sure you don't misunderstand. One more time. How many of you love God? Okay. If you love God, all things are going to work together. No matter what happens, no matter how it happens. And there are times when God allows us into places where everything just doesn't go like that. Sometimes He makes us wait. Does anybody here like waiting? Has anybody in this room recently been upset in the line at a fast food restaurant besides me? Oh, come on, hurry up! It's supposed to be fast food. I can tell you in a town not that far from here, Nance and I were recently in a line over 20 minutes. And my type A personality, hello, come on, get with the program. Do I need to go slay the fatted calf? Do I need to get in there and help somebody? Is it better for me to go inside and cook this myself? Are we not a microwave generation? Beam me up, Scotty. Many of us remember the days when there were no microwaves. I remember the first microwave Nance and I bought. It was a Sharp, and it had a turntable. And we spent almost 1,000 dollars on that. We had a microwave on payments when we were first married. We gave that away. It was absolutely an elephant. It was the biggest thing in the room. I mean, it was huge. We gave that away. How long we had that, sweetheart? 20 or 25 years. And we gave that away to a young guy that's now a doctor when he was going to medical school. And we gave it to him. We had it. I don't know why we gave it away. We did. We thought it was a good thing. I guess he still has it. I mean, that sucker still works. I remember when microwaves came out. Oh, my God, didn't have to take the potato and put it in the oven, take a fork and start sticking that thing and put it in there in, what, 4 or 5 minutes? Is that right, Nance? Potatoes, microwave, is that right? 2 minutes? The microwave attitude of many of us has entered into our faith. Well, we want to push a button and say, God, you got 1 minute to work, or I'm going to do it myself. The problem with God, he's not a computer operator, he's a farmer. What you plant in this season may not be harvested to the next season. And you're always going to get back more than what you put in. And there's a part of this that we believe what's in this verse. That all things work together. We can't always figure that out because we sometimes look at situations and say, how could God call this good? Nod your head at me if you understand what I'm saying. We look at situations, and yet somehow for those who love God, he gains glory for himself because in the parameters of life, he has a will. And that will we pray to be done here as it is in heaven. And sometimes in the play out of this, we don't get it. We don't fully understand it. And in faith, we have to say, God, I don't know how, I don't know why, but you are going to be in the middle of this. In this delay, in this wait, there's going to be good for us. And when the dust settles somewhere down the road, I'm going to be glad that I waited. That I didn't have to have it all at once. That I didn't have to have this or that at this moment because what I thought was right wasn't. What I thought I needed, I didn't. And I'm so glad there was a delay. Because God, who has called us according to his purpose, has a plan for our lives and for our families and for our ministries and for our churches, our communities. And we have to somehow rest in his wisdom that he knows what is best. The God who is holy has involved himself at the simplest levels of our life. And we can trust him, even when we don't fully understand it, to accomplish his full purpose for us and ours. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to get anxious or fret or worry. How is all this going to fit together? How is all of this going to work? Because God has your best interests and my best interests in mind. He loves us so much. Now, you got to do your part. And I got to do mine. But he'll make up the deficits, whatever they are. And when the story is all concluded, the T's have been crossed and the I's have been dotted, you're going to look back and see God in the whole process. Even in the delay. Even in the wait. Even in the stuff you didn't understand. Even in the stuff you couldn't add up. We want to reduce God down into a box about the size of our brain, don't we? We want to put him in to what we're comfortable with and what we're used to. And then all of a sudden God says, you know what? I'm going to get out of that. And I'm going to do something that you didn't expect. I'm going to do stuff you didn't see coming. And you just have to trust me that Father knows best. Wherever you are today, wherever your family is today, and whatever may have been going on, fill in the blanks. I will tell you, if you love God with all of your heart, all things are going to work together. Can I tell you what the enemy's intended for evil? God will turn it for good to the saving of many lives. You remember when that was quoted? That was in the life of Joseph. Joseph had been sold out of envy by his brothers into slavery. And he was sold to the captain of Pharaoh's guard, Potiphar. In the process, in Potiphar's house, there was all sorts of lies and deceptions told about him. He was thrown into jail. You know the story. And after interpreting the dream of two of Pharaoh's officials, he was actually made the vizier of Egypt. And ultimately, in times of prosperity, then times of famine that wiped all the years of prosperity, the wisdom of Joseph not only saved a nation, but saved his own household. And when his dad was finally passed, and his brothers came and bowed before him, these who had sold him into slavery and put in jail, he said to them, "Don't be afraid. For what was intended for evil, God will turn it for good." If you'll trust God, I'm talking to somebody today. I don't know who you are. If you'll trust God, all things will work together. We don't have to figure it out. Just let God do that. In faith, keep doing what He's told you to do. And don't change direction until He tells you to change it. If He's planted you somewhere, bloom there. You put everything into it that you possibly can. Use your best wisdom. Pray with all your might. And if God gives you a different direction, that's fine. But if He hasn't given you a direction, stay put and believe that all things are going to work together. Even when you come under attack. Even when there's reverses and setbacks. Even when you get hurt, or you may walk yourself into a situation where all of a sudden people lie about you and they create and connive against you. And you know, I'll tell you what, success makes false friends and real enemies. And you can find yourself in places that where you suddenly don't even understand, how in the world could this ever happen to me? And yet there may be some kind of a demonic intent to try to pull you down and pull your family down and come against you. And you may say to yourself, "I don't quite understand how God can gain any glory for Himself in this." Hold steady. Hold steady. Walk it out. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Refuse to quit. Continue even when there seems to be very little shoulder in where you're facing and you got to walk a very, very straight line. God's will that we pray about here as it is in heaven, and that will that says that all things work together for good, somehow, He is going to show Himself to you and yours in the midst of it all. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to take matters into your own hands. God's not working fast enough, so let me do it. Don't do that. The closer you come to seeing the actual intervention of God in your own life, family, you and yours, the closer you get to that actually being accomplished, it seems like the last little bit is always the hardest. The tendency is, when we get to that point, let's help God. Let Him do it. Just let Him do it. Trust Him. Pray with all your might. Love Him with all your heart. His will be accomplished in our lives. We need not worry about that. And it'll be good. Trust Him. Believe Him. Place your life at His disposal. Even if you don't fully grasp how it all fits together, God will take care of that. And aren't you glad today that God's got plans for you? God's got plans for yours to give you hope, to give you a happy ever after. He is going to make things far better for us than we could ever make for ourselves. Aren't you glad today for a God that loves you that much? Hallelujah. Bow your heads, close your eyes today. Heavenly Father, I thank You today for every man, woman in the house, every young person, child, those that will access this message online from who knows where and for whatever reason. Father, I thank You that You're the God that not only wants Your will done there, but also here. And You have promised us that all things will work together for those who love You. We love You with all of our heart. There is no doubt in our mind that you have called us according to your purpose. We believe that what's been intended for evil, you'll turn for good. We believe that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We believe that greater is the one within us than the one that is in the world. We believe many more be with us than they that be against us. We believe, God, that your will prevails, your kingdom rules over all. And somehow when all the dust is settled in our life, we're going to see your blessing and favor, even in the times of delay and wait, in a way that we'll never be able to do in our own power, in our own way. Father, I praise you today for these men and women, their families, their loved ones. Even at times when we grumble and we complain because things aren't happening as fast as we want them to, there's something happening in those times of wait that is even more important than what we want to have happen, because something's happening in us. I sense something happening in this body, I really do. I sense things happening in these families, in these loved ones. Even at times when we struggle because for whatever reason it's not moving along like we would like it to, you have a greater purpose. You have a greater plan. Plans to give us a future and a happy ever after. And there's times when you got to work in surrounding circumstances, and even when it's raining on us, maybe that's the answer to prayer for somebody not that far removed. And we just have to trust you, that you know what you're doing. We have to believe that if we put our hands on it before you want us to, we're going to mess it up. We're going to actually ruin what it is that you're doing. We don't want to abort in any way, shape, or form your guidance. We want to trust you. Help that person today in this house that's been very much struggling because they don't quite see things fitting together right now the way they would so want. Lord, help us not to make decisions out of fear. Help us not to react out of anxiety or worry. Help us not to fret to the point that we forget how much you are in control of even some of the simplest things in our life. You have allowed some variance and some latitude, that we are granted the freedom to make some decisions for ourselves. We do make mistakes, but even in those moments, you still come and help us when we cry out to you and cast all of our cares upon you because you care so much for us. Bless your people today. Bless these men and women and their families. And help those who are struggling today with your will for them and theirs. Help them to realize today like they've never realized before, things will work together. If they'll just put all that faith and trust in you, you will work all things out for their good. And we praise you and we thank you for it, God. Jesus' name. And all of God's people said a great big hallelujah today. Let's put our hands together and give God a praise offering in this house.